been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It is finally the regular season. We are so close to true blue Baltimore Ravens football, and we're going to talk about it all night long. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, ladies and gentlemen, week one. I can hardly contain my excitement.
It has been a long time coming. I know you have been waiting for this week. You were hoping the summer would just, you know, fly by, but here in Baltimore, especially when we're recording, it feels like summer is still hanging around a little bit because it's so warm out.
I didn't like that too much on my lunch break, but
I know, right?
I know, but it's coming.
But here we go. It's Ravens time. It's time for the regular season. Before we jump into that, let's talk about what happened week four of the preseason. It was the final game. No starters were playing. It was all rookies. But let's talk about some of the moves made. Biggest news coming out of the preseason, I got to imagine Asa Jackson being let go by the Ravens. What's your take on that?
I'm kind of like shocked at that cut, and everybody's like, I expected that. I'm like, how so? And everybody I talked to was like, well, when you fumble the kick off and try to juke the kicker out of his shoes and you fail at that, could have had another touchdown. But it's kind of like I looked at it that way. I'm like, yeah, but barring those blunders, who hasn't had those blunders? Who in their right mind was in the starting position at the return game? So, but apparently the Ravens have other ideas, and this is why I'm not a Ravens general manager. Why Ozzie Newsome does his thing, and this is why we just talk sports, because apparently he has other plans. That apparently Michael Campanaro was topping that list as the return guy. So, but other than that cut, I was the only surprised that AC Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, all the rest cuts were kind of standard. I was a little sad to see Cassius Vaughn being let go. I understand it. I mean, such a cool name, but I thought he showed a lot of grit, a lot of what you want on a Ravens defender. But, I mean, that's the way of the NFL. He's a six-year veteran, I believe. He's bounced around all over the place. I figured you'd keep him just as kind of like a backup to make sure you can move him around the defense a little bit, because there are some guys that could be potential question marks as the regular season rolls. But who knows? I don't think anyone picked him up or anything like that, so he may still be sitting out there, and we could call on him if needed, like we did with a lot of other guys last year. But we'll see what happens. Sucks for him. But another guy, he's made the practice squad. I think that he did a very good job, especially in that week four game, was Daniel Brown. I thought he played, he never called it quits. It looked like we actually potentially could have won the game in week four, thanks to him blocking a punt, getting a touchdown, making those big plays. Eventually we could see him making plays with Flacco, but that's the type of stuff you do for preseason. That's why preseason's there. Guys like him who are fighting for a spot, didn't get one, but is going to be around a little bit and will be on the practice squad coming this year.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody was like, oh, he got cut. And I'm like, but apart from that, those initial couple plays in the final game, I really didn't think he made too much noise as the four games in the preseason altogether. So, it's always the whole body of work, not only one game, but what have you done all four. So with that being said, I wasn't really too surprised at that. I mean, if he'd have done a little bit more noise and then got cut, I would have been like, wow. But this is what happens. You know, I feel like I got to make some tough decisions, and some guys that we thought would make the team make it, and some guys that we really didn't think there sometimes are still there, and then some of the guys that we thought would make it aren't there. So that's the nature of the beast, but we confident with what the coaches and the staff have put together for us, and the best 53 men going into Denver and the week one.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the big one for the Ravens. This is the 20th season. It's a big deal. The Ravens have been in Baltimore for 20 years. You know, the Ravens lost the Colts to Indianapolis, snuck out in the dark, in the snow, were without football for, what, 12 years or so? And
I think we've forgiven them with two world titles and
that's
all these
true.
Hall of Famers. I think after the second one, I was kind of over, especially after beating the Colts. And again, it's kind of like, I used to be more irritated about that situation as I was, but now I'm kind of like, really? You're a Colts fan? I don't really care. Usually I'm like, Colts fan, but no, I don't really, don't bother me no more.
Yeah, but this is a big year for us. 20th anniversary. A friend of mine, she showed me what she got as a PSL owner. They got mailed all this cool stuff. It's a really cool magazine that the PSL owners get, where they kind of give the stats of everyone that's going to be on this team, the 53 names you're going to see, and kind of give them stats, weight, height, all that good stuff. But one of the cool prizes that you get, you know, you get a gift for being a PSL owner every year, is that each PSL owner got an official 20th anniversary patch that the Ravens are going to be wearing throughout the entire season. And she was kind enough to say, Brandon, do you want this patch? I'm not going to put this on my jersey. And of course I said, yeah, I'll take that. Absolutely. So I do have to say,
oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, right there. I mean, you already know 20th anniversary patch. I like the design, and 20 seasons. It's been great. I really can't embark on this 20th season and covering these Ravens for fears with you. One minor note is I wanted to touch on is the signings. We signed Charles James to the practice squad, Charles James II. And I have to say, Brandon, do you watch Hard Knocks this year for the Houston Texans?
I haven't watched this year, no.
Oh, it's great. I mean, Hard Knocks is always incredible. I think tops the list, I think the Jets were the best with Rex Ryan, because there were some classic quotes in Hard Knocks from the Jets back in the day, and
yeah.
I can't remember that. But we actually signed. The Texans were featured in Hard Knocks this year, and everybody's watching, you probably know this guy, and you probably know him of his socks. And Brandon, I would encourage you, Google it while you're even on air. Look up Charles James Wacky Socks. This kid wears wacky socks, and it's crazy awesome. Apparently, he was waived by the Texans, and the Ravens up, put him on the practice squad, and I hear from word of mouth he's a good character guy, and he has some wacky socks, and he actually said let me pull it up, because I actually have the tweet saved from, but I would encourage you, if you have a computer in front of you, try to Google it somehow. Charles James Wacky Socks, it's awesome.
Oh, so he's a Circle Socks guy. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Brandon, or not. I enjoy the Stance socks. I'm a big fan of them. They're kind of crazy socks, too. I get them, but they're super comfortable. And but this guy digs Circle Socks. I might have to switch.
Well, I do the Argyle socks, the purple and black, and, for my personal taste. But I'm trying to pull it up. It's not letting me pull it up. I'm on air with you. I don't know why it's not letting me access my tweets. But, I saved it in my favorites. It's pretty awesome. I think he tweeted something along the lines of the Sox show goes on or something like that. It's pretty awesome.
Well, he sounds like a cool guy. I mean, he's going to be on the practice squad, so hopefully we don't have to see him, but it seems as if his wardrobe is at least going to keep things a little lighthearted in the Ravens locker room for a little bit. I do have to send a shout out real quick though to my friend Stacy for giving me that patch. I'm gonna put that on my new Terrell Suggs jersey that I got for my birthday. So I'm gonna be all set for this season. And Josh, are you ready for this season? Like, are you ready to start talking about this regular season?
I've been ready since we lost in New England. I've been ready since training camp started. I've been ready since summer. Let's get to it. But I can't wait. It's just great knowing that Sunday morning we wake up. And I can actually wake up, do my Sunday morning routine, put my gear on, and it's football Sunday. I can't wait.
You got a little extra time, though, this Sunday, because we actually have a late start, because the Ravens will be in Denver, in Colorado, up against the Broncos and Peyton Manning. That start time is 4:25 this Sunday. Josh, what are some of the keys for this game? Because we know what happened last time the Ravens opened up a season in Denver. Didn't really go the way most Raven fans would have hoped.
Didn't really go the way Ravens fans were hoped. I mean, Peyton Manning just threw all over our secondary. It was the year after we won the Super Bowl, it was 7 touchdowns, and it kind of exacted revenge from the 2012 divisional playoff game. But keys to this game, I couldn't stress enough, are very, very simple right now, Brandon. It's first off, you got to take care of the football. New turnovers. if you win a turnover battle, more than likely you're going to win the game. It's usually how it goes. First team to force that turnover is usually has the upper hand because you can cash in off of that. Another thing I want to look out for is a transition from last year to this year. Better red zone offense, especially inside the 10, inside the 5. How many times have we got down there, the 2-1-yard line, and we've seen it with the second team. Not the first team this preseason, but the second team. Matt Schaub and company had a first and goal because of Asa Jackson's return. He couldn't quite finish the return, and they could barely get in. It's just, I say you got to stress. Run the ball, stick to the fundamentals when it works. I know Mark Trestman has a game plan. I don't think he'll outthink himself and get too crazy with it. Another key of the game is staying healthy. With the rash of injuries so far this preseason, this offense and defense can't afford any more casualties. We have to stay healthy, keep Joe Flacco upright, and if everybody does their job assignments, I think we'll come out with a win, especially on the defensive side of the ball. No stupid penalties. I mean, it goes on offense, defense, special teams, but on the defensive side, we've been seeing a rash of stupid, illegitimate penalties, whether it's unnecessary roughness hitting the quarterback, whether it's, you know, legal hands in the face, whether it's pass interference or legal contact. We need to just keep that to a minimum and not give the Broncos free yards, especially if it ends up being third and long situation and they keep the chains moving and the drive alive. And if they put points on the board up because we could have stopped them fourth down and they ended up punting, instead we keep the drive alive. And Peyton Manning, you give him extra downs, that's like giving any star major leaguer extra outs, and that's like giving anybody in basketball extra time because they're going to score. And you can't give Peyton Manning's offense extra downs because they're going to make you pay. So you really got to keep the damage at minimum. And the easiest way to beat Peyton Manning is keep him on sideline. It's all time of possession. And I think with the Ravens dominating time of possession and keep the ball out of Peyton's hands, I think this team could come away with a win on Sunday if they stick to those keys.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I like what you said about Peyton Manning. The best way to beat him is to keep him on the sidelines. I definitely agree with that. You know, he can't do any damage by him being on the sidelines. And I wish we could meet Peyton Manning in December, January, because we know he doesn't like that cold weather. Getting him the first week, not always a good thing for the Ravens. He's very good at the beginning of the year. But you brought up a lot of the stuff, the red zone being, you know, the Ravens were pretty much allergic to that red zone last year. I want to say the biggest spotlight I have is not going to be on any of the players, but Mark Trestman and how he handles this offense, because we're seeing him for the first time in a real regular season atmosphere on this game. And he's going to have quite the job up against him to get these guys to do what they have to do, because the offensive line, there are some injuries you got to worry about. Besides Steve Smith, who is somebody that Flacco is really going to be able to count on to get those long balls down there? Yes, Carmar Aiken and Marlon Brown are both targets that Flacco has gotten long with. He's thrown to them. They play well together. But again, they don't have the veteran ability that Steve Smith has. And even today, Harbaugh came out and said there's potential that Breshad Perriman does get to play on Sunday, but he doesn't know. To me, that sounds as if there's no way he's playing this Sunday.
Well, I mean, I don't expect him to even sit up or even play, and it's just as such a big disappointment, especially our first-round draft pick and him and stretching the field. And when Torrey left, I thought it was going to be a great weapon. But you're right. There's nobody stretching the field, but – this week, I want to really hone in on something very important, especially covering it. And by the way, I have no more fantasy drafts left, so, you know, don't.
So what's the final number? How many are you in?
7 leagues. love it. And I'm already I'm loving every second of it. But with that being said, we wrote, and I even talked about this on Sunday a little bit, was especially in fantasy, we always talk about, like, you know, draft picks and who you picking in the first round, and I'm speaking fantasy football here, and obviously you never hear Ravens names mentioned. I really like that, because the Ravens aren't really trendy for, I mean, Forsett's been going as a top running back in fantasy. Flacco's been down there in the lower rounds, but I've seen some Ravens get drafted. Steve Smith's been the popular pick. He's always been drafted. I think he's gonna have a great year. But Crockett Gilmore's gonna start tight end. I got Crockett Gilmore on several of my teams this year. Justin Tucker's a fantasy option as a kicker. Ravens defense always goes. Other than that, you only have guys. And what I mean saying all this, Brandon, is if you look back on our playoff teams or Super Bowl teams, obviously 2000, we won it with straight defense. and recently, obviously, Joe Flacco in the 2012 offense, that was led by some big plays in offense, and Joe Flacco led offense with that playoff run and a timely defensive stop. And with that being said, the Ravens have deep run in the playoffs and have success in the playoffs without a top-flight receiver. The Steelers have Antonio Brown. They've had one or two playoff wins in the last 5 years. We've had like 8 or 9 with the championship. Dez Bryant of the Cowboys. Dez has been in the league, I can't recall how many years, like maybe 5 or 6. He's at his prime. And the Cowboys have only won one playoff game. Julio Jones in Atlanta, one playoff game. Aaron Rodgers has his weapons. The Packers. Aaron Rodgers makes everybody around him better. Packers won the Super Bowl as a wild card team with the most injuries in the NFL at that time. And you look at, Eli Manning now has Beckham, and he had Cruz when they won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, apart from some of the big flashy players, Calvin Johnson up there in Detroit, they have yet to win a playoff game, I believe. So it's just with these big receivers, apart from Demaryius Thomas and company actually making it to the Super Bowl, they actually lost the Super Bowl. I mean, you look at Seattle. Their receivers, I mean, they have basically Percy Harvin and Doug Baldwin leading the way. Ravens. You look at these teams have won it, and the elite receivers. Those teams, my point is, those teams have not really had the success. So it's like, yes, for some odd reason, Ozzie Newsome cannot nail a great receiver. I mean, we had Travis Taylor was a huge bust. Clarence Moore. Huge bust. How many receivers I can pick out of the draft have been huge busts? Mark Clayton, first rounder out of Oklahoma, he's a bust. So, yeah, the Ravens have, for whatever reason, Ozzie and company can't draft and scout good receivers, but have we needed them? I don't think so. I mean, last year we made a deep playoff run with Steve Smith as our leading receiver. We made a Super Bowl run with Jacoby Jones and Anquan Boldin, and Anquan Boldin leading the way as a journeyman. So, this team, if you look back on it, has not really needed that flashy big number one. It might come sometime sooner or later, and it really sucks because Flacco is in his prime, Brandon. So it really sucks to hear that, because what if Flacco had one of these guys? What if he had a Dez Bryant that just goes up and makes plays and catches 16 touchdowns in a season like Dez did last year for the Cowboys? It's like, you know, that would just tickle us to death, because you're right. Then we would have that true deep receiving threat. Right. But the way this offense is, that's not how Baltimore is, and it's always never been. It's taking care of the football. It's running the football. That's what we're known for in Baltimore. Remember the champ back in the day, give Jamal the ball. It's running our new defense and actually timely passes and timely possessions. It's, you know, moving the chains, whether it's third and long and we went to Anquan back in the day, or we hit that over the middle. Now it's going to be hitting Crockett Gilmore. It's going to be hitting Steve Smith with the possession. You're going to see these guys. That's basically, and I hate to say this, but that's how some of these offenses are very successful. Not the big, you know, let's chuck it up for a 40-yard catch and let's hope for a prayer. And that's like a major league baseball, relying on home runs instead of little singles. I mean, if you talk to a major league manager, Brandon, I don't think that for any second they would doubt that the best way to be. And again, that's how the Kansas City Royals in baseball were so good. It's, they're scrappy. You hate that kind of play, but and that's how the Boston Red Sox have been successful in the past. It's scrappy play. You're not hiring big hitting home run guys that are going to go up and smack 50 home runs apiece for you throughout your lineup. You're hiring guys that can bunt. You're hiring guys that can hit singles. And that's why late in the NFL, you're hiring guys that can hit first downs. They can actually catch and move the chains. Instead of going one big play and getting an 80-yard touchdown, we're looking for a good. But like we did, remember how we opened the preseason? We went right down the field. It was like 14, 16 play drive and an 80-yard, and we capped it with a fourth down run at the goal line. So that's how this offense is going to run. So with that being said, I don't think with what we have now, a deep threat would be nice to stress a defense. I think it'll come at a later time, but it's just not going to happen right now. As much as it's on our wish list, it's not going to happen, and it really sucks. But we make do.
Yeah, you know, the Ravens are always good at that. That's why Joe Flacco is called Joe Cool. He can kind of just roll with everything. Nothing really bothers him. Him and Steve Smith do work well together. Kamar Aiken and Marlon Brown, him and those guys work well with Flacco. I think hopefully Marlon Brown and Joe Flacco can get in the groove that they had 2 years ago. And Breshad Perriman, even though he is missing a couple games here, I don't think he'll be there on Sunday. It could be good for Marlon Brown to get into that real game scenario, and he might be able to stretch the field a little bit more than he did get to last year. But another name you brought up earlier in the show, Michael Campanaro, obviously with Asa Jackson being let go, they see him as a punt returner, as well as his role is a wide receiver. So he could be a slot receiver as well as a punt returner. He's been with this team a little while. Can he handle both jobs? Do you see him? Do you think he'll flounder, or do you think he'll do well? Being given so much work to do.
He's given so much work. I think he can handle the workload. I really hope he don't flounder. I don't foresee him floundering. Remains to be seen. Again, it's really hard to judge, especially going from preseason to regular season. I know it's live game action, guys. I know it's real football. You're playing against another team, but when it really counts and you're in there the whole game versus one or two series or one or two plays, it's really hard to really gauge. But what we've seen, I'm okay with the workload, but can it sustain for four quarters? I'm thinking we can see that happening, but I like to see it actually progress, and we shall see coming on Sunday if he can handle that. What do you think?
I would love for him to be able to handle that. He's definitely impressed. He's impressed me throughout this preseason. The only thing that worries me about him is that he has had injuries in the past. Hopefully they don't come back to haunt him. We did lose him for a little bit. I believe it was last year due to a hamstring injury. I don't want to see a repeat of that. So when you give a guy like him more stuff to do, I think he'll do well. But you never know what's going to happen with injuries. You just don't know. It's kind of unpredictable. Obviously, the Ravens see something in him, and he'll be able to handle it. So that's what I really want to see. But let's talk, since we're talking about injuries, let's talk about the guy known for injuries, Lardarius Webb. Hasn't played any of the preseason games. Came in to training camp, didn't get through the conditioning test. Next day he's okay. Then he has a hamstring injury. What do we expect from Lardarius Webb? Because like you said earlier in the show, Peyton Manning's on the field. He's going to tear up the secondary. Lardarius Webb being the biggest the biggest guy there, the guy with the most experience. What's going to happen when he shows that he's a little rusty from not playing the last couple games? Is Manning going to just focus in on him? Is he going to be able to handle it? What do you see here with Lardarius Webb?
Well, I see, I really see kind of a hopeful prayer potential, and I really hate to say that, but with a guy coming off injuries, really hasn't played much. I've seen some brilliance, and I've seen some "you got to be kidding me" out there. So, and Peyton Manning will not be shy on picking on that side of the field, and I really hope for the sake of the game, if that happens, coaching staff realizes it, gets him out of there or replaces him or moves him to nickel or something's got to happen, because if he just continues to get picked, and it reminds me of Rashad Melvin, how he got picked on in the game, New England last year, and they just kept going to that side, and it was weak, and New England exploited it, and that was our Achilles heel. We couldn't stop the pass, and granted, Jimmy Smith was out. We have Jimmy Smith back this year, so I think you're going to see a boost in the secondary, but Lardarius, I think his health's going to be an issue, and I think it might hinder him going forward. It remains to be seen. I really hope the guy can stay healthy. I really like to see it, because I was always hopeful of him as a Raven, but with two bad knees, being a corner, and you really have to use your feet and your hips and shift and move and cover these fast receivers, because the NFL, they're getting bigger and faster. That's kind of why I was afraid of the Asa Jackson release, because he was not only was a kick returner, but he's a corner. And I know how our secondary, we already had Matt Liedem out there. We got Arrington, we got Lewis, got Jimmy Smith back there. These guys, I'm really hopeful of the unit, but with it being so depleted, I really hope Lardarius can hold his own and stay healthy and really be up to game speed and be 100%.
That's what I want to see.
I'm shaky.
I did see Shockey Brown was waived, I believe, by the Bills. So if you wanna bring that guy back, that's
again. If we're in need for it, and the Ravens coaches believe in it, he was here once, didn't work out. If he wants to deserve a second shot, I don't know what's changed. I haven't seen him play since, but the Giants waived him. I don't know if it was just personnel issue, too many players position, or really didn't like how he's performing, but. The Ravens will do right and right the ship if anybody's out there on the wire, waiver wire, and they can snag him and help our team by all means. I mean, they did it. And Charles James is one of those guys. I mean, he was signed to the practice squad, and kind of signing the practice squad is good because it gives us opportunity in case we need to bring him up. So if there's any injuries there, and James plays that kind of position. So We do have some reinforcements if need be. So I'm okay with what's going on. Not ecstatic, but if we hold our own against Peyton Manning in the offense on Sunday is going to be a great test. That's why I'm kind of really excited. You got Kubiak, went against our former coordinator, Owen Daniels, former Raven. We made a playoff run with these guys last year. It's always fun against Peyton because we want to prove that we can beat them, not only in the playoffs, which we've already done, but we want to beat them in the regular season, which we can never seem like do since like 12 years ago. I think the last win against Peyton Manning was 2003. I've looked back on my notes there, but to quote me if I'm wrong, I think we've only beat Manning once or twice in the regular season and once in the postseason, which it really mattered. So he's owned us. And, yeah, he's older, he's got issues, and he's without his top tight end, and Julius Thomas left for free agency and a new deal. But they got C.J. Anderson, they got Demaryius Thomas, they got Owen Daniels, they got Virgil Green as another tight end, they got Cody Latimer coming up, and then their defense just be fine. But I did, on their defense, they're without a key player. T.J. Ward is not playing for the Broncos on defense, so that is a huge upgrade for the Ravens as far as personnel facing issues concerned. The health of the Broncos, other than T.J. Ward being out, they're pretty much at full strength. Again, they got Von Miller in the middle of that defense. They do got DeMarcus Ware, so we're going to have to really watch these guys, and my key is in the trenches. If we can hold Joe Flacco upright, not scrambling, we can block for four set. It runs crazy on this defense. If we can hold DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller at bay, it's going to be one up front. It always is. I mean, you're going to hear that cliche all year, man.
Have you heard anything about Kelechi Osemele and Rich Wagner? Are those guys going to be ready for Denver? Are they going to be ready for week one? Because I think one of the big keys for Flacco is having a good amount of guards looking out after him. And I think Kelechi is a big name there, and we didn't see him a lot in the preseason.
At least he's a big name. To give you an update on that, I heard whispers, and again, it's whispers of Wagner could be ready. I don't expect it. It would be a great, great, great thing to see. I do not feel Kalichi is going to be ready. Again, anything can happen between now and Sunday. News of the Ravens are hush-hush about that until Friday when they release the full injury report and who's doubtful, questionable, and improbable and ready to go and suiting up. So we'll find out officially, but my initial gut is we probably won't see both of these guys, which really sucks because for the first time in history in this franchise, we've actually had pairings of line over from season to season. We really need that to be healthy because that's where it's going to start. It pretty much starts and ends at the line. So, but my assessment is with whispers I've been hearing, Wagner might be available. If it's a very small chance, I don't think Kelechi will be. But again, anything can change.
Yeah, hopefully those guys are ready because I think without those guys, it's going to be very hard for Joe Flacco to get a lot of time to let things happen. And it's also going to be pretty bad for Justin Forsett to be able to make plays. Justin Forsett, of course, he's another guy you really got to keep an eye on because his backup, Taliaferro, out for a couple weeks, not going to see him. He's being backed up by a rookie, Buck Allen, a guy with not a lot of experience. So the weight went from, you know, being 80% on Justin Forsett to, I want to say, 90 to 95% on Justin Forsett. There's no doubt he's the starter and will be for a while, but it's a lot more. It's a lot more on his back now.
Of course, and can he handle the workload? Absolutely. I'm a full believer in Justin Forsett and what he can do. It really sucks that Taliaferro is not healthy for the game. Not that I'm not a believer in Doris Allen. I've seen some great flashes in preseason with the guy, so I think the rookie can handle the workload. I just don't think they're going to overwhelm him in a sense of giving him the ball no more than probably 6 to 8 times, maybe 10 max. I think Forsett's willing to handle the carry, the load. And I did see if and I think you saw the tweeted picture, and I thought about getting one myself, but Forsett's been training with those training masks. Have you seen those before, Brandon?
I have. I think Steve Smith had one on last year. And yeah, he quoted Bane. He definitely gave me a little Bane vibe with that mask on.
I loved it. It gave me exciting chills there, and generally my love for Batman, but and I've actually been looking to get one of these masks. I think they're only $40, brand new on eBay. And if anybody doesn't know what they are, they're high altitude training masks. So when you train, it's actually like breathing against the air. So they're probably more than likely using these to train for the thin air, a mile high.
Yeah.
In Denver, and obviously how we know how it is when it's cold there. The playoff game they played, it was like 10 degrees and they had near zero. So it's really hard to breathe. Everybody never visited Denver. I never visited Denver, but I couldn't imagine breathing a mile in the air. But you know how it is. We all know science. We know farther you go up in the atmosphere, harder it is to breathe. So these guys, that's why I think Forsett's really honing in and training on that. He expects the ball 85-90% of the time. And obviously for fantasy owners listening that have starting Justin Forsett, they're like, okay. Because for me, I actually have invested interest in this game. I do have players in this game. I have Peyton Manning. I have C.J. Anderson actually in this game. I do have Justin Tucker. I think I have the Ravens defense. And I have Crockett Gilmore. So, and I do have Joe Flacco. So I have big interest in this game. So not only obviously from a love of the Ravens, but fantasy implications. That's my personal implications fantasy-wise this Sunday for our game. I'm really looking forward to this game, Brandon. I really can't stress this enough. Getting out for a win here is all important because it sets a tone for the AFC because we don't play New England and that circus, and we can leave that alone to rest because we all know. And I'll touch on that at the end. Not really going to touch too much and waste my breath on that team and that situation, but I have a very good point to make as well. And it just really sets the tone. But in breaking it down, I'll run this down very quickly here because I know we didn't really chance to do it. I don't know. I'm going to ask you, what are your season predictions record-wise this year, Brandon?
Well, our Joe Flacco, our quarterback, says that he would be upset with 10 wins. You know, he wants more than that. So I like the fact that he's saying that. So I want to say, you know, let me look at the schedule here. I want to say the Ravens are able to come out with 12 wins this year.
12, okay. And that's a good point, because when the schedule first came out, I said we can do 12. Joe Flacco might be happy both for answers, but I'm going to get one less win. I'm saying 11-5 for this year, as the same record that Jamison Hensley, who covers the Ravens for ESPN, actually dubbed us. And and I agree with some of his logic on the season. He actually, almost to the bye week, me and him are identical in record. But me and him have a difference in opinion on one of the losses late in the year. He actually has us losing to San Diego and Miami.
Huh.
But I am winning Seattle at home. I think we'll probably, and not only because I'm there, I'm going to be at all these games, but I think it might be reversed. And here's the thing. I think I'll give you my score prediction, of course, before we end, but I think we're taking a loss in Denver Sunday. That's my personal opinion. I think we're going to lose a close one. Then I think we bounce back and take Oakland on the road. So we're 1-1. We come home against Cincinnati. Home opener is going to be nuts. 2-1. Pittsburgh, short week and Thursday night football game. I think Pittsburgh clips us, and I think we're 2-2. Cleveland at home, we're 3-2. So we're 2-1 in the division and 3-2 in the league. So I think that's quite manageable given that we have three out of the first five games on the road. At San Francisco, I think is a win. We're 4-2. We go to Monday night at Arizona. I think that's going to be a loss for us there. It's two straight away games, Monday nighter. Arizona's got a great team, great defense. I think we're going to lose a close one on Monday night.
That's the week where they're staying out there, right? They're staying out west for those two.
I think so. Don't quote me. I know they're staying out there this weekend for sure. They're not coming home between the Oakland game. They're actually, and I don't know where the team's going to practice. We'll hear about that this week after the game. But
so they're staying out in between Denver and Oakland?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
They're not coming back to Baltimore.
Oh, wow.
It makes it easier. Yeah, so it's going to make it a lot easier. They got permission to do so. So let's see where you were. 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2. So Arizona loss gets us at 4-3. Okay. That's where me and James Hensley of ESPN agree. Here's why I disagree, because he has us losing San Diego to put us at 4-4. We come home, start three straight home games. I say we actually win all three of those home games. So we're 5-3, 6-3, 7-3, beating San Diego, Jacksonville, St. Louis, all three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland on Monday night, we're 8-3. I think we win at Miami. Actually, I might have to agree with him there, because that's a not to doubt this team. That would put us on like a 5 or 6 game winning streak. We know how hard it had to do NFL. So, and being that it's in Miami, Miami's got a great team. I actually might have to. I'm gonna have to agree. Say Miami's a loss on the road.
Hmm.
So we're not. So we're 8-4. I think that's fourth loss. And then I think Seattle, we lose to Seattle at home, but win our last three games at Kansas City and Pittsburgh at home and on a Sunday night, and then we end in Cleveland or Cincinnati, so we beat Cincinnati. So we're 11-5. My five losses are Denver, we split in Pittsburgh, home and home, so we each win our home games, so that's two. We lose to Arizona on the road, that's three. We lose to Miami on the road, and we lose to Seattle. That's my five losses this year. So I hate to say that. This is what we're looking. I mean, obviously, Ravens can't go 16-0, but I hope they prove me wrong on Sunday and come out with a win. I'm rooting with all my heart. But my score prediction for Sunday is very low. I just think that with the teams being week one, I don't think it's going to be a shootout, but I'm not going to go near 30. I'm sticking with my prediction and saying 24-20 Broncos in this one on Sunday.
You see, this is what we were talking about last time after the Super Bowl, and it was a complete blowout in Denver two seasons ago. So, unfortunately, I'm going with you and saying that Denver does come out with a win this Sunday. I hate saying that. I hate for the Ravens to open up on the road with a loss. But given the travel, given that it's Peyton Manning, given the injuries to the Ravens, I can't see them coming out of this with a win. I hope they do. 100%, I hope they do, but I just don't know. I can't see them being able to overcome all of that. They've done it before. I hope they do it again. But right. With so many new guys, so many rookies, so many injuries, it's almost as if the Ravens are kind of beating themselves in my mind. Because yes, Peyton Manning's great. Yes, the Broncos are great. But it's inexperience and it's uncertainty of who's healthy, who's not. And I honestly, I want to see what Trestman can do. I kind of can't even say, really, like what I expected the offense to do because I don't know how this guy will be calling plays. I don't know how he reacts in those types of situations. So it feels as if like this first week, even for fans, should just be, you know, a let's wait and see type of mentality. But I hate to say it, but yeah, I got to agree with you. The Broncos are going to, I feel, are going to come out with a win on Sunday, and the Ravens will be staying out, it sounds like, and going to Oakland and hopefully coming out with a win that week.
Right. And I, like I said, I agree with all your variables there because it's too many uncertainties. I mean, with the Broncos, they're more solid, and you know what you're getting with us. We've seen it gel, but we really want to see the finished product. So if the finished product looks greater than the Broncos and they play better, and they outplay them and outsmart them, outcoach them, yeah, they can come away with a win. I mean, I can believe this team can win all 16 games every time they step on the field. You know, I believe that just like the players do and the coaches do. But when all said and done, you know, even going on the field is very tough in the NFL with the talent and with the parity and with everything just always moving around every year and the turnover. It's just really hard to do. And we've seen that. I mean, we are a playoff team. We're 12. And one of our four losses was against Jacksonville on the Monday Night Football. I mean, Blaine Gabbert beat Joe Flacco's let off. I mean, that's just what I'm saying. You look at that, but then look at the bigger picture. We might lose one of those weird games where you're like, really? We lost at home to the Jaguars in November? Yeah, it might happen. And you might look at the schedule, and we've already covered this. But we're all of our home games are backloaded. We only have one home game in the first four games and two out of the first. Like, if you look at our schedule, we play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 first seven games, two of them on the road. Then if you look at the end of the year, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 away games, and in the middle we have three in a row home games. So we basically go on the road, and then we're at home for like a three whole week span, and we go on the road 2 weeks, and then we're at home again for 3 weeks. So it's like we get leniency. And like I told my buddy today, at the end of the year I'd rather have our home games backloaded because the teams get hot and you play your best football, and this team does play their best football in November, December. So if they can come away on the road and get a good, decent amount of wins in the beginning of the year and set themselves up, and they can win all their home games, you know how it is, Brandon. You win all your home games, go 8-0, you split on the road at 4-4, 12-4 every year. Even trade that, and let's say you still split on the road and you're 4-4, and then you lose one home game, and you're still 11-5. You lose two home games, you go 6-2 and 4-4 on the road, you're at 10-6. 10 wins usually in the NFL, you're pretty much in the playoffs, if not a wild card team, let alone winning the division. And I think this year with the 11-5 record, the Ravens will win the AFC North crown and take a home playoff game and a division title this year. That's my prediction. 11-5 with a division crown is my personal opinion. I think this division's weak. Pittsburgh has too many
Which is just crazy to say, because usually this division is the one that everybody watches because it's such a hard knock division.
But still, I'm not discounting that. I'm just kind of the fact that Pittsburgh's defense looks atrocious in what I've seen. They're without their star center. They're without Bell for two games. They're without Bryant for four games. So you pretty much, you know, you're without some moving parts. I think with the added incentive of Brady playing on Thursday, a couple of days, I think Patriots are going to trounce them and help us out. So I think, and even in it doesn't make the Broncos loss that big of a deal because the Patriots could easily handle Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday. So I'm not too concerned there. And speaking of that, I know a lot of negativity and a lot of volatility came out of the league today in a new light with the Patriots and the whole Spygate, and even spying for years and stealing people's playbook. It's an ongoing saga, and I'm sick of it. Like I told my friend today, I am so proud to be a Ravens fan and not part of that mess. It just makes me that much more proud to be part of a first-class organization that, hey, if all we had to endure was a Ray Rice domestic violence scandal, so be it. But we handle that with true class, and Bisciotti handled it the best he could, and we're really never in the spotlight. I'm just getting sick and tired of the NFL and the Patriots meddling and all these partnerships and devious plans. And here's the thing. It makes Thursday harder to watch because you have the Steelers, who are our big arch rival, really hate them. We know how we are in Steeler week. But you had the Patriots. And I told my friend to say, it really burns me to even ever verbally say that. But I'm like, with all this fanfare and saga and drama and cheating, it makes me want to root for the Steelers even more because I don't want to see the Patriots succeed. But then again, it's like, but Pittsburgh loss would help us out in the long run because we want to go to division. They would take a loss. And if we take a loss on Sunday against the Broncos, it makes everything easy. Then we come back. I mean, it kind of plays itself out. Even if the Steelers win and we lose, I still think we can recover. It's not a big deal. I mean, it happened before. I mean, I think a lot of times that happens where we lost week one, Steelers won week one, and we're a game behind already. But you can't go down 0-2. So I don't think it would happen with us because we play Oakland the second week and we stay out there. But my whole thing is the Steelers have player issues. They have personnel issues, just like any other team out there. I mean, who doesn't? It happens. I mean, we've had Ray Rice. They've had their issues with legal problems. But when it all said and done, with the Patriots organization, I really hope we see them in January, and I really hope it's at our place. I really hope we beat the living crap out of them because I hate their fans even more because they're delusional. They think that, oh, they're fine. And I'm like, really? Like, if it was any other team, you'd be crucifying their fans and shouting indecencies, and because it's your own team, you got the blinders on. I mean, if it was our own team, at least I still love them. But, yeah, it's pretty bad situation. So that's my take. It just sucks because Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. Now it's like you just question it. It's like the whole thing with, you know, Roger Clemens in baseball. I love Roger Clemens growing up. I love Danny Pettit. A lot of my favorite players. And then when they got in trouble, it's like, really? It just makes you think. So it's going to be interesting to watch on Thursday, but I think the Patriots are really going to trounce them. I don't think Pittsburgh has a chance on Thursday. That's my opinion. I'm laying at the rest.
Well, yeah, you know, it's crazy what's going on in the NFL right now. It really is. And I didn't get a chance to read in depth about all the reports and everything. I definitely want to. Once I get done this podcast, I'm going to check it out. So I really don't want to comment on any of that. But with the whole Deflategate thing that happened last week, I mean, with the way the Ray Rice situation was handled by the NFL as a whole, I mean, definitely there's something wrong with what's going on up top and who's in charge with the NFL. I'll read more into like the Spygate and everything like that, the relationships with the Patriots and everything, once I get done this podcast. But you know, something's not right there, and eventually it'll come out, and it looks like ESPN and a couple other people have been getting on that. So I'll let you guys know next week what I have to say about that. But at least on Thursday, we do get to get some football, even though it does kind of suck. It's the Steelers, and it's going to be the Patriots, but it'll be fun to at least just have football back on our screens again. And I can't wait for Sunday to watch Ravens football, the purple and black. They'll probably be in white, though, in Denver, but we'll see. Did we cover everything for this show? Is there anything we could have missed? Has everything been covered?
In our great words of our rookie, we covered it to a max for week one, my friend.
All right, so here's something we do have to cover. Doesn't involve the Ravens per se, but this involves all you listeners out there. Josh and I have been talking. We've decided we're going to shake it up a little bit this year. All right, guys? You guys have told us what you want to hear. You've reviewed us, which has been awesome. Which, by the way, Josh, forgot to tell you this. You know how we have friends in Sweden and the UK and New York and Las Vegas and California, all those cool places?
Where at now?
Well, there's a guy who left us a review, Southern Maryland, as well as Australia.
Nice.
So,
I love it.
Again, Ravens Nation worldwide. It's so cool.
Man, I must have missed the one. I saw the Southern Maryland one. I must have not logged on and saw the Australia one. So shout out to y'all listening in Australia. I missed that review. I'm going to go back on a little and then read it. But I did see the Southern Maryland one the last time I logged in.
That's
so
right.
I was very pleased to see that.
Good day, mate. Good day.
Good day.
So this is what we're going to do for you guys this year. We're going to try it out. If it works, awesome. If it doesn't, okay, we'll go back to the way we always do a show. If you've listened to the show in the past, we usually do one show a week, and we review and we preview. We've decided this year we are going to split that up to give you guys more of the call throughout the week. So that means we'll still be recording our shows on Tuesdays, and then on Tuesday night, Wednesday, you'll be getting what Josh came up with a year or two ago, something called the Red Eye Review, and we will be reviewing the game from that past week. Then, on Purple Friday, we'll be giving you the Purple Friday Preview, and we will be previewing the upcoming game. So that means you guys have to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and all those places to make sure you're getting this. But here's the thing I'm most excited about for you guys. We are also going to be putting out a mini show for game day. So the morning, you wake up, Josh has got his whole thing. He's got it ready. You guys that reviewed our show on iTunes, you have the full-length song to start off your day. Now you're going to be able to download an episode of The Call on game day, and it'll be just the highlights of what we're looking for, what to happen in this game. It's going to be quick. It's not going to take up a lot of time. Probably going to max out around 5 minutes, if that. But we want to make sure you guys are getting the most amount of coverage that we can do, you know, without, because we don't get paid for this. So it's going to make sure that we're not going nuts or whatever. You guys asked for it. We're going to try our best and give it to you. Two and a half shows a week. And if you guys dig it, let us know. If you don't dig it, also let us know. We're experimenting this season. Josh, you know, you and I talked about it. We had a business meeting at Hooters. We decided we wanted to do something like this. I'm excited about this upcoming season and how we're going to do it.
Absolutely. It was a great business meeting, and I kind of agree. I mean, fans, please be honest. We do this show for you guys. Not for us, for you guys. So we want to get the word out there. So if one or two and the majority of our listeners and supporters really don't like the new format, we're just back to one show a week. But I felt that this opportunity to give everybody something to hold on to, is when how it is. You know how it is when you're watching your favorite shows and you get that one episode a week and you can't wait till it happens. And even with the Ravens games, you get one Ravens game a week. And I thought that this was a way to give our fans and our listeners multiple attempts to download The Call a week and break it up the monotony. And I know we're all busy lives. Not to say that, you know, we understand. You know, we appreciate the support. I mean, we've been successful so far. Not really handing much feedback on the length. But I felt like with me, you know, me being a busy professional, everything out there, a 40-45 minute podcast, it's really tough to take all that in at once unless you have a good hour commute or you're winding down at night or you're at the gym working out for a good hour. You can take it all in. So I think with a good 15-20 minutes here, 15-20 minutes here, and breaking it up, I think it'll work with everybody's busy schedule. And I thought that was the best thing to do for 2015. So if with that being said, that's my logic behind why we did what we did and agreed to it. And I'm glad Brandon was on board. So if it's not working after a few weeks, please let us know and write those reviews. And please email me, tweet us saying, Josh is not working out. Can we go back to the old format? We'll do it. We'll do it the right way for you guys.
Absolutely. So, like we've said, there's many ways to be social with the show. Let us know. What do you think of the new format? What do you think's going to happen in Denver? Be social with us, man. It's so awesome when you guys tweet us or like our stuff on Facebook. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at IanGQ52.
Very cool. Go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. A bunch of people have done that already. We are always posting up cool articles we found or cool pictures or videos, whatever we find interesting about the Ravens. So check us out over there. Also go to facebook.com/BrandoCatch. Like us over there as well. You'll be the first to know whenever a new episode of The Call comes out. Plus, you know, coming up pretty soon, hockey season starting. My other podcast, What the Puck, will be coming out very shortly. I think hockey season, preseason starts in 2 weeks, so we'll be gearing up for that. If you're a Caps fan, you can check out What the Puck as well, and you'll know whenever we put out something on Brando Cash Entertainment, photos, videos, whatever, you'll check it out over there. You can go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about The Call and everything else that we do. What else do I have to tell you? Oh, yeah. You got to be social with the show. Like I said, this is a show that we do for you guys. We love talking to each other. We're glad you guys dig us as well. We're going to give you more of what you've asked for this year. So let us know what you think of everything, okay? And let other people know that there's a show out there, there's a podcast that you can listen to twice a week and talk about the Ravens, all right? It's by the fans, for the fans. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. You can check us out all those places. We're available anywhere there's podcasts available. So check it out as much as you can. Hopefully you're ready for this season. We're ready for this season. Josh, get us ready for Denver.
Get us ready for Denver. Denver, indeed, Brandon. Thank you again. And, guys, it's here. It's here. Week one. You can probably sense the enthusiasm. I can't hardly contain myself. It's like Christmas. It is Christmas because it's week one in the NFL. Not only NFL, but Raven season. We've been waiting all year, all training camp. We've endured four preseason games. We got through them. I know it was tough. I know you guys got through it with me. We got through them. We did it. We're here. I really can't wait. We're going to see it all unfold before our eyes. And again, I know the predictions, they're just predictions. Our heart of hearts, I know we can walk out in Denver with a win. Let's prove them wrong. And let's show the AFC that we mean business. And the Super Bowl road of 250 will come through Farm City. And that's M&T Bank Stadium. And what a home field advantage. And I really can't wait to get after it. All starts. First of two road games in Denver, 425 on a raw B. I'll be yelling and screaming right in front of the TVs with all my Ravens family. Can't wait to get after it. Just remember, root hard, get your crabs ready, get your natties ready, because it's Sunday. Ravens, week one, let's fly high out of Denver with a win.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.